All right, this is Sunday morning, 8/1/21. I wanted to read y'all something. This was a devotion. It's Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, but it was so good. It was July 31st is the devotion. It says, "Don't serve the problem. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, that he will have mercy upon him." That's Isaiah 55:7. It says, Ken begins to say here, you can't win a victory as long as the problem is the biggest thing in your life. The Lord woke me up to that fact a few years ago. At that time, I was facing some difficulties in my ministry that seemed so big to me. I thought about them from morning till night. Even though I was standing against them, I was thinking more about those problems than about the scripture promises I was standing on. Then I saw something in Matthew 6:24-25. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Easily said, not easily done. You know? I'd read that scripture hundreds of times, but that day I saw something I'd never noticed before. I saw that immediately after Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, he said, take no thought. Suddenly it hit me, we serve our thoughts. That's why Isaiah 55 says for us to forsake our thoughts by the word, take God's thoughts. That's why 2 Corinthians 10:5 says to cast down thoughts that challenge the word and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Do you want deliverance from your problems today? Then quit serving them. Quit allowing them to consume your thought life, and don't wait until circumstances change to do it. Instead, realize that circumstances won't ever change you until you switch from wrong to right thinking. I know that's not easy to do, especially in the midst of heavy darkness and trial, but you can do it if you'll do these three things. First, remember you aren't alone. You have the Word, that's God's thoughts. You have the Holy Spirit to strengthen you, and you have the mind of Christ. Second, get around people who are full of faith. Instead of rehearsing your problem, let them do the talking. Make yourself listen. Join in with their faith and resist darkness. Third, praise God. Do whatever it takes to make yourself praise. When you begin to praise, God's presence will turn back those worried thoughts and make them fall. Your problems are not the biggest thing in your life. Jesus is. Serve Him with your thoughts and He will set you free. And He reads the passage of Isaiah chapter 55. I just thought that was good. It hit me right where I needed to be hit. It says, verse 1, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For mine thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fig tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is all about changing your thoughts, not serving your thoughts. Lest are God thoughts.
Is that it?
we'll continue on with it here. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut. And the title of this is Come As You Are to Father's House. This is what the Lord said. I never turn anyone away. They come to me in all kinds of ways and conditions. Sometimes the help I provided was not listened to or understood, but I was just delivering God's message and extending His love for the people. I said that anyone that came to me, I would in no wise cast out. All are welcome in Father's house. All right, I'm going to read Luke 15. We're going to take a look at Father's house. Starting with verse 11 here. Now a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He divided unto them his living. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no longer worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. So this is Father's house. Father's house. You could say that it's like a come as you are party. You ever been to a come as you are party? I've only been to one. They got me out of bed at 2 in the morning, I think it was, in my pajamas. It's where you go, a bunch of girls, get drug out of their beds, and they go from house to house, and they have a food at each house. It's a come as you are party. And then they give you a prize for who looked the best. I got the prize for looking the best. I remember that. In fact, some of them looked really bad, their makeup all smeared on their face, and black mascara and all that mess. Yeah. So coming to Father's house is like a come as you are party. Yeah. God already knows it all. Nothing is hidden from Him. And that is what is amazing to me. It's that He knows everything about us and He still loves us and wants to help us. There's nothing hidden. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Just face it today. You can't change yourself. None of us can, but God has provided His Word that has that transforming effect on us. We must avail ourselves to it. Now, this is me speaking. I don't care what kind of lifestyle you come out of. If you will give the Word of God a chance like you give other avenues, then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's Romans 8:32. Okay, let's look at Proverbs a minute, 4. Start with verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they're life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So the Word of God is the transforming, changing agent. It's not you trying to change yourself. Jesus is the Word of God, and God sent Him to heal us from whatever we need healed from or of. That's not just physical. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So many go through so many things thinking they need to do this and they need to do that to change themselves. Always thinking, well, I better do this and I better do that. A lot of it's just religious teaching. But no, it doesn't say that. It says to let the Word of God transform you and change you. As a Christian, this is the first thing that we need to do. Why pursue anything else until we get our minds right? You can see why most people spend all their lives never knowing God's will and are never any better. They have not taken this step, the first step. I hear people say, well, God never speaks to me anything. And I'm thinking, you haven't renewed your mind with God's Word. That's why. You haven't taken this first step. This process will take you from earthly-minded to heavenly-minded or kingdom-minded. You will go from glory to glory. This is 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. This is supernatural. This is not natural, even though we naturally decide we're going to read the Word, think about the Word, hear the Word taught. We make a decision. That's why it says present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You are agreeing to go through the process. You're going to allow me to work in you with my Word and change you to what you need to be. He's only asking you to listen. He's not asking you to change yourself. He's asking you to listen. All right. You can't do it, no matter how bad you want to. It is not in human nature to be able to change ourselves. That is why God had to send Jesus to help us out of this terrible state. Okay, Ephesians 2, I read this in the earlier teaching. Verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we are a work in process. God is doing the work. It is a gift, but you must receive this gift. I'm not just talking about salvation or receiving the Holy Spirit, but making a commitment to let the Word of God have place in you so that you can be changed. See, we're going from glory to glory, being transformed into His image. In the last 7 years, I've completely changed. I dealt with issues all my life, but God, by spending time in His Word, showed me the problem and He fixed it in me. You cannot be good enough, no matter what you do. You're not supposed to. The goodness is God in you. Isaiah 64:6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Our efforts to try to change ourselves is just as filthy. No, it's not by your own toil. It is the gift of God. He does the work in us. He doesn't need you to get in the way, but just make a decision. Let's read Romans 12, 1 and 2 again. What he's asking you to do and what the word will do. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Okay, Lord, I give you my life. Just do something with it. Sound like Gloria Copeland. That's what she said. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You're just to let the word clean your mind out. Because this is where we've served Satan, the children of disobedience. If you're not under God's, you're under his. All right. At this point, as far as you are concerned, you are dead and you have a new life. What do you think a living sacrifice is? You crawled up on that altar like Isaac. Thought, come what may, I ain't moving. I'm in this for the long haul. Colossians 3. Let yourself off the hook today. How about that? Get yourself off your mind. We don't serve our thoughts. Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. See, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. He's talking about you've decided not to go the way of the world, the way most people walk, but to go God's way. When you begin to know what God's word says about you, you can say it and it will become so. Consider the old man gone and the new life begun. All right, 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. No longer look at yourself in the negative, no matter what ungodly ways are manifesting in you. You are in the transforming process. Don't be too hard on yourself. God knows it all. Nothing is hidden from him about you, so get over it and look forward and not backward. To look backward and hard on yourself is counterproductive. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Think military training. You are training for reigning. It will be a steady and sometimes slow process, but if you stick with it, you will see change in your life. Things that you have struggled with your whole life are suddenly no longer a problem. God is on our side. This is Psalms 118:6. Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me. The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. Thy word, Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 23, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. See how important the Word of God is? Whatever you find in God's Word, He says it is yours. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Even after the prodigal went and wasted all his money in uppity pursuits, Father welcomed him back like he never did anything wrong. Best robe, ring on his finger, which meant checking privileges, threw him a party. Why would he want to be anywhere else but Father's house? All right.